I'm Snips editor Michael McConnell. Welcome to the Snips Podcast. This month, we're going to talk to Guy Gast, the new president of the Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors National Association. We'll find out a little bit about Guy, about his history in the HVAC and sheet metal industries, and just what he sees for SMACNA in the year ahead. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Hi, Guy. How are you today?
Excellent.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do the podcast.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Well, I know you've only been SMACNA president for a few months. Have you had a chance to get out there very much, or is it kind of just ratcheting up now as 2016 gets underway?
Well, a little of both. I mean, there have been opportunities to meet with SMACNA staff and the executive committee and some with contractors. But for the most part, this early part of the year is fiscal planning for next year. I do expect the chapter sessions and meetings to pick up considerably after the first of the year, and I'm looking forward to that.
As I've been reading online articles, newspaper articles about what 2016 will be for the overall U.S. economy as well as construction, a lot of experts seem to think this will be a pretty good year. Have SMACNA members voiced anything to you about that, or do you have personal opinion on how 2016 will shake out?
Yeah, a little of both. I've talked to quite a few contractors. Obviously, even before the presidency, we meet with them regularly, our board meets. And I think the consistent theme is that the construction economy has rebounded to a certain extent, that man hours are up. They were up in 2015. I believe they will be up, and I think the contractors feel that way, in 2016. So a bit of a rebound, and certainly there's still pockets where work has not come back. But the overall sense of things is that 2016 should be a good year in terms of the amount of work. If I have a concern, it's about, well, will we make money executing the work?
Why is that a big concern? And obviously you want to make money, but what's the problem?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, contractors in the recession were somewhat conditioned to bid low. And there's some worry that maybe we've trained ourselves to be low margin experts. And so it's always a bit of a tail on the curve that takes time for us to begin to think about actually adding back in the margins that we need in our business. So I'm concerned that competition is still overly robust and that people are continuing to take risks on new work in spite of an improving economy.
Do you get some pushback when you do attempt to raise your prices a little bit?
You know, I think it's self-inflicted. There's always pushback from customers about raised prices, but frankly, I think we're sometimes our own worst enemy. We imagine that we can't raise a price.
And how is your company, the Waldinger Corporation, doing?
Very well. Very well. I mean, we shared some of the pain through the early part of the recession, meaning we had some decline in revenues and obviously attendant margins. But I think part of our business model has been focused on building a service business, on diversification of product offerings, and on relationships. So while the bid market may have declined, whether it was federal, public, or end-user office buildings, there was still negotiated or relationship business out there, and we were fortunate to retain much of that.
That's good. In our preparation for this podcast, we talked a little bit, and you had mentioned some of the concerns you had had about finding, you know, qualified people, getting new workers in the industry. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I think that's a consistent theme that I hear from contractors around the country is, where's the labor going to come from, and what's the quality of labor going to be like? Some of that is obviously a byproduct of a long, protracted construction recession that saw many young people leave the industry. And similarly, some of our older, more experienced people went into retirement. So I think at both ends of the spectrum, baby boomers retiring and young people either leaving or not being recruited into the industry has left us with a concern about, do we have enough talented people going forward? And we're obviously going to have to replace a significant talent pool of baby boomers. So I know that's a concern others have. I have the same concern. It takes a long time to train a field supervisor to be effective.
Is your company or is the union smart? Are they doing anything to try to reach out to young people or even career-changing people that are a little older to attract them to the sheet metal industry?
I think that's an interesting area that SMART and SMACNA are aligned about. SMART has recognized that there's value in reaching out to those people who may have left us during the recession. see if we can recruit them back into the industry. Because they took their talents elsewhere, we could use them back. So I do think that's a positive, that we're aligned around recruiting and about bringing people in. I'd like to think that, you know, we have a lot to offer, that it's a high-wage industry, that you are paid well as a young person for entering this industry, and the advances and the opportunities are very high.
It's the problem with all of construction that a lot of people don't think of construction as a primary career choice. They think of it as a backup career, or they don't even think of it at all. I know that's been an issue for a long time.
I agree.
Yeah. Have you figured out what issues you're going to be discussing? I know the SMAC, the president, has in the next year, you're going to be touring, for lack of a better term, going to a lot of shops, speaking, making a lot of presentations. Do you know what issues you're going to be talking about this year yet?
I do. In the broad landscape of things, I've always been a big fan of the notion that in the future, we have to attach ourselves to the solutions we sell, the solutions to problems that our customers have. And historically, we've been fixated on the products we build or the things we sell. So I am fairly passionate about the notion that customers want to buy a solution, not a product. So that's one. I'm also a big believer that you build customer relationships for life, and those aren't built on the basis of a single job. It may start with a job, but we have to put a lot of energy into figuring out what is going to sustain a relationship with a customer for life. That's another area that I'm enthused about. I also think sometimes we forget that our best employees are also our best customers, and we have to deliver to them just as we do to the customer. We have to make our programs for learning and becoming effective in the workplace easy. We have to give them the benefits that are attractive, and we have to create opportunities for them, just as we have to create solutions and effective delivery for customers.
Do you think that your company has been fairly successful at doing that, making it the kind of environment that people want to stay at, want to work at?
Well, I do. We've been around 110 years. I'm not hanging my hat on that, but I am very proud that our growth has been based on promoting people internally, investing in new technology, about investing in people and their training and development, and about our commitment to our customers. So you have to walk the talk, and the reason I like to talk about it is I think we've done well at it.
You mentioned technology just now. What new technologies have you seen recently that really impress you? Or I guess I want to pick your brain on technology. Since you've been in the industry for such a long time, I imagine you've seen a lot of changes.
Yeah, we've gone through eras of change. And I think we went through the era of change that saw plasma cutting tables so that, you know, shop layout and fitting production improved. And there have been others, but for quite a long time, we really haven't seen much that's changed the landscape in the field or in some of the planning and pre-planning processes. And now I think we're in a technology-driven era where mobile devices, smartphones, automated layout in the field, and BIM, CAD, CAM, I'll put them all under an umbrella, are beginning to show signs of real impact on field production. And I think we have to figure out how to leverage all of that and get a result from it.
Mm. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about this upcoming year or about the industry in general before we finish this podcast?
I'm looking forward to getting out and meeting with a lot of contractors. In my life, I've learned a lot from them, and so I'm confident that this, for me, even though I'm getting older and have been around a long time, I think this is a year of growth for me personally. I expect to learn a lot, and I hope, one of my hopes, is that if there's been something I've learned, that I'll be able to turn around and share it with others. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, maybe if you'll allow us in a few months, I'll give you another call, and we'll talk about what you've learned in your year as SMAC president. How's that sound?
You can hold me accountable, Mike. I'm expected to learn, and I enjoy doing it.
That sounds good. Well, Guy, thank you so much for taking this time to talk to me today.
You're welcome.
That's all for this month's podcast. I'm Snips editor Michael McConnell. Thanks for listening.